Osho Talk. The Miracle. Talks on Zen, number 4.
Dogen wrote, "Quietly consider the fact that if this were a time when the true Dharma had not yet spread throughout the world, it would be impossible for us to come into contact with it, even if we were willing to sacrifice our lives to do so. How fortunate to have been born in the present day, when we are able to make this encounter. We are now able to come in contact with the Buddha Sakyamuni and hear his teachings due to the compassionate kindness that has resulted from the constant practice of each of the Buddhas and patriarchs. If the Buddhas and patriarchs had not directly transmitted the Dharma, how could it have come down to us today? The true way of expressing this gratitude can be found only in our daily practice itself. How transient our life is! To utter two or three words of the Buddhas and patriarchs completely is to express the Buddhas and patriarchs themselves fully. Why is this so? In their realm, there is no gap between body and mind, so every word of their uttering is their warm body and mind. Therefore, when we become the Buddhas and patriarchs, we transcend them. This is the practical expression of two or three words of the Buddhas and patriarchs. So I strongly urge you to pursue the practice of the Buddhas and patriarchs."
Manisha, obviously these statements of Dogen are uttered before his enlightenment. He is being a beautiful scholar, a learned man. He has a rare intellect from the age of 7. He was able to translate Buddha's words from Chinese to Japanese. At the age of 4, he was able to learn Chinese. He was a rare child, a rare intellect, a genius. But that is a barrier as far as Zen is concerned. It must have been a difficult time for him to change the gear from mind to heart. These sutras are just from the mind. Whoever has compiled these sutras does not know that a master does not speak the way Dogen is speaking. This is the way of the scholar. I have to remind you that at some point Dogen must have become a master. We have discussed about him. Those were the sutras when he has become enlightened. It is good comparison. In a single man, what enlightenment brings and what are the impediments, even to a man like Dogen, with such immense and unique intelligence, the problem arises that his intelligence is so much that it is very difficult to take the jump out of it. Sometimes things which are blissful, fortunate, become unfortunate, dangerously preventing the quantum leap. You can see why I call him still a scholar. Dogen wrote, quietly consider. What is consideration? It cannot be meditation. There is no place for consideration. Consideration is of the mind. Consideration is another name of thinking. And how can you consider something which you don't know? Just the fact that he is asking, quietly consider the fact that if this were a time when the true dharma has not yet spread throughout the world, it would be impossible for us to come into contact with it, sheer nonsense. If Gautam Buddha could become a Buddha and there was no precedence, then what is the problem for you to become a Buddha? Whether Buddha existed or not, it may be a myth, a fiction. It makes no difference because it is not Gautam Buddha that has to be taken in consideration. It is your own being which I am calling the Buddha, and your own being is always with you, whether Buddha has existed or not, whether so many enlightened people on his path have existed or not. I don't have a master. I don't know Chinese, I don't know Japanese, in which the original Zen teachings are written, but I don't care. In fact, listening to me, if the scholars see into their books that I am saying something different, they have to change their books, correct their books. It happened, the man has just died. Bhikshu Anand Kausalyan, he was one of the most prominent Buddhists of the contemporary world. I used to stay in Nagpur in a friend's house, traveling around India, and that friend was very much intimate with Bhikshu Anand Kausalyan. So he asked me that Anand Kausalyan wants to meet you. I have talked about you so many times. And he has also heard you. I said, I will be very happy. I have read his books. You bring him to home. So that evening, Anand Kausalyan came to see me, and it became a Zen encounter. It was going to, because the first thing I asked him, are you a Buddhist or a Buddha? He looked at the host with whom I was staying, and I could see that now he understands he is caught in a net. And I was staring in his eyes, so he could not lie. He said, I am sorry, I am still a Buddhist. I said, what is the point of being a Buddhist? And you are getting older every day. Any moment death will take you away. Your Buddhism will not help. Why don't you become a Buddha? He said, my God, I had come to see you to have a polite conversation. I said, with me nothing is polite. Either this way or that way. If you are not a Buddha, then how a conversation is possible? I am a Buddha. You are a mere scholar. He said, that seems to be true. Because when I heard you for the first time in a Buddhist conference in Bodh Gaya, you told a story. I loved the story, but I have been searching in Buddhist scriptures, that story is not there. Now almost 5 years have passed, And I'm still looking in every nook and corner, because Buddhism has many scriptures. Maybe somewhere that story is, but there is no trace. I said, you are doing a wrong thing. You just write down in any of your scriptures the story. Buddha himself is speaking. And you can at least understand that that kind of a story can happen only to a Buddha. So it does not matter whether it happened to Gautam Buddha or to some other Buddha. The taste of it is just like the ocean. Taste it anywhere and it is the same. Don't be bothered who is telling the story. Don't be bothered about the bamboo from which the sound is flowing. It is not the bamboo, but the hollowness of the bamboo that allows the singer to sing. Meditation makes you a hollow bamboo, and the same universal spirit starts singing through you. So don't bother unnecessary looking into dead scriptures. Write down here now and add to any Buddhist scripture. He said that is very difficult. Nothing can be added that will be very unholy. I said, do you like the story? He said, I immensely like it. I said, do you think anybody who is not a Buddha can manage that story? He said, no, I don't think. Then I said, be a little courageous. Scholars are always just mouse. No courage at all. Be a lion. And the story was a simple story I have told you many times. I don't care whether it happened or not. It makes sense. It makes you understand something of the inexpressible. That is enough criterion. If it did not happen, it should have happened. If I ever meet Gautam Buddha, I will force him to correct. Anand Kausalyan says that I have another appointment. I said, I know you must be having another appointment. Now that this conversation is not going to happen, but remember that all your scholarship and all your fame all over Asia, wherever Buddhism prevails, is worth nothing, because you don't have the courage of being a Buddha. And being a Buddha is not somebody's monopoly. Being a Buddha is not being a Buddhist. A Buddhist is a follower. A Buddha knows it. There is no need to follow anybody. The story was that Gautam Buddha and Ananda, his disciple, are passing through a forest. They have just left behind a small stream. Buddha is getting old. And he says to Ananda that, "I am feeling very thirsty. You just go back and from that stream bring some water in my bowl." Ananda took the bowl and went back. But meanwhile, few bullock carts have passed through the stream. They have disturbed its water completely. It has become muddy. Dead leaves, which were silently asleep in the bottom, have surfaced to have another look of the world. The water was no more drinkable. And Ananda was in a difficulty what to do. This water he cannot take for his master. So he went back. Buddha was sitting under a tree and asked, "Have you brought the water?" He told the thing. Buddha said, "You are stupid. You just go there and sit by the side of the stream. When we have come, it was not muddy. The dead leaves were asleep in the bottom. The water was crystal clear. So just go there and wait. It needs only patience. Soon the leaves will be gone because the stream is flowing. They cannot stay there. The dust will settle. Gravitation is continuously pulling everything towards itself. Everything is being done. Soon the water will be clear." Ananda wanted not to go because he has seen it has become so dirty that it will take days to have that same crystal clear quality that Buddha remembers. He said, "Don't be worried, I will bring water, but I will have to go into other direction, ahead. There is a big river. It will take a little longer time because it must be 4 miles from here. But it will be fresh water, drinkable water. You rest here." Buddha insisted that you don't change your mind, just go back And when the master says, just go back, unwillingly, deep down resisting, Ananda went back and was surprised and shocked that meanwhile the leaves had gone and the dust has settled. He had not even to wait. The water was as crystal clear as it was before. All that was foreign, the dust, the dead leaves, they have all gone. The water has come to its purity. He filled the begging bowl of Gautama Buddha. But insistently he was aware of the fact that why Buddha was so adamant that I have to come back to bring water. He needs water. I could have brought from another stream, but why this stream? There must be some reason. And as he came back towards Buddha, the reason became clear. Just as the leaves and the dust, which are not natural to the stream, which are foreign visitors, tourists, they are bound to leave sooner or later. Suddenly he remembered that that's what he means, that your thoughts, your emotions, your sentiments, all are foreign to your Buddha nature. If you just patiently sit down, they all will disappear without any effort on your side. Your purity will assert itself on its own accord. The Buddha arising in you is a spontaneous phenomenon. This was the story I had told in the Bodh Gaya conference. Anand Kosalain was interested. The story was really beautiful. It made an absolute clear explanation of Buddhist meditation. You have just to wait. Don't do anything, otherwise you will make things muddled. Just wait by the side, watch and be patient. And it is going to happen. He said the story really impressed me. But now that I know that it is not in the scriptures, I said, does it interest you or do not? Because it is not in the scriptures, it has lost its significance. He said, I have never encountered a person like you. Who says that what I am saying, put it down into your scripture. I would love to do it, but it is not according to tradition. And nobody will accept it. I said, it does not matter. You accept it, he considered, wavered a little, looked at his ghost again for help, that he has entered into the lion's den unnecessarily. All his scholarship is useless. In the face of truth, all scholarship is always useless. But the scholars find it immensely difficult to take the jump beyond their mind, because their mind is so precious. It contains so many beautiful scriptures. It is their respectability, it is their honor, it is their dignity, it is the whole treasure they have. It is a strange fact that the more you know, the more you are filled with borrowed knowledge, the less is the possibility of your knowing the truth. The less you know, the less knowledgeable, more is the possibility to drop your mind, because anyway it is worthless. You don't know anything. You have nothing to lose. But a scholar has much to lose. It is good in a way that we discuss Dzogchen when he became enlightened. And now we are discussing his difficult times when he must have been a man of great scholarship. His language shows it. Quietly consider the fact that if this were a time when the true dharma had not yet spread throughout the world, it would be impossible for us to come into contact with it. Now, this is stupid. If Gautam Buddha could come to realize it without any Buddhism anywhere, it simply shows that each individual is capable of realizing himself without any tradition. It is good and encouraging that there have been Buddhas. To your weak hearts, it gives a certain nourishment, a certain trustfulness, but it is not a scientific fact. Even if there has been no Buddha before me, I would have been a Buddha in spite of it. Because the Buddha simply means an awakened soul.
Why I cannot wake up? Do I need somebody else first to wake up? And that too thousands years before? Because thousands years before Dzogchen, Gautam Buddha wake up, does it help in any way for a sleeping person? In fact, the sleeping person does not even know that somebody has become awakened. In what way it can help? This is just a scholar's mind. He is making a logical and rational statement that because Buddhism has spread all over the world, that has made us capable to become enlightened. That is sheer nonsense. Scholarly, of course. Even if we were willing to sacrifice our lives to do so, in what way Buddha attained to be a Buddha? Because he risked all. Anybody, anywhere, in any time, in any country, if he is ready to risk everything, his mind, his body, and just be a watcher, unidentified, he is bound to become a Buddha. It does not matter whether Gautam Buddha really existed or not. He is saying how fortunate to have been born in the present day, when we are able to make this encounter. Just a foolish scholarly statement. Every moment is blessed for the courageous one who can come out of the sheep's skin and give a good lion's roar. You are all hiding. Because to be a sheep is secure. The crowd is unafraid of the sheep. To be a lion, and all crowds around the world became afraid. And to tell people that you are also lions is the most dangerous thing to all the vested interests. They can oppress you because you are ready to be oppressed. They can enslave you because you deeply need to be enslaved. alone you feel almost dying. You need a crowd around you. It feels cozy and warmer. Have you watched the sheep? They always move in a crowd, big crowd, almost stepping on each other. Just the feel that everybody else is there, there is no need to be afraid. But nobody has seen a lion moving in a crowd of lions. A lion moves alone. The very word crowd is dishonorable. These scholars want you to understand that you can only be a follower. And of course, to be a follower, a master is needed. And I want to tell you, a master is helpful, but is not an absolute necessity. A master is helpful only in the sense that seeing a bird fly, his small children gather courage, start fluttering their small wings. Although they are sitting on the edge of their nest, the sky seems to be so vast and they are so small. But their parents flying around the nest are simply encouraging them that don't be afraid. If we can fly, you can fly also. I used to live in a place where there was a mango grove. Cuckoos like mangoes very much. In a mango grove, you will find day and night cuckoos singing. When their new barns come out of their eggs, I have watched trembling, hesitating. The child wants to fly just as the mother is doing. But feels afraid because he has never done it. And who knows whether he will be able to do it or will fall in the ground and die. The mother goes to the nearby tree and gives a call. Watching them, I started learning their language. I could decipher the call when a lover gives to his beloved, and the call from a mother to the child, and a call from the child to the mother, small differences, but you can decipher. The mother's call is simply to tell the child, come up close to me, it is not far away. Just look, she goes another round around the tree. And I have seen that if the child cannot gather courage, he flutters but remains just on the edge of the nest. The mother has to push him. It is worth seeing when the mother pushes the child. He is so afraid. It is just as if somebody is pushing you into ice-cold water and you don't know swimming. But he flutters his wings. He cannot do anything else. He has to flutter. He has seen the mother, what she was doing, and within seconds, the transformation. He has gone to the other tree from where the mother was calling him and gives a call in response that now you can come. And every day he goes farther and farther, and a day comes that he says goodbye and never comes to the nest again. The whole sky is his. The master is certainly a tremendous help. His very presence gives you a guarantee. His very authority takes away your fear of the unknown. But he is not absolutely necessary. You can take the jump without any master. Gautam Buddha did, then why you cannot do? Why Dogen has to wait for Buddhism to spread all over the world? And then he will be able to become a Buddha. And he has not even become Buddha yet. I don't want you to be a Buddha tomorrow. There is no need. The Buddha is your nature. All that is needed is to be acquainted with it. Now, here is sitting Rajendra Anuragi. He is on a high post in Madhya Pradesh, Director General of Communications, and because he has come here and he is only on leave, after the leave finishes, he is going to take retirement. But the rumor must have spread, and the government is threatening his wife that you vacate the government house, that we are going to cut electricity, telephone, water. But Rajendra Anuragi is made of a different matter. I know him from my very childhood. I have sent him message that don't be worried by such political pressures. Just tell your wife and your children that if the government takes the house, here is your home. You can come here. But Rajan Anuragi is not to go back. Going back is very cowardly. And all these threats, they have not taken the house, they have not cut the telephone. All these threats are simply so that the wife becomes afraid. She is having a heart attack. She has been hospitalized. Children must be worried. Naturally, government must be thinking that Rajan Anuragi will come back, seeing the situation. For a courageous man, no situation exists which can change his mind. He has come here, and if the government wants the house, although it is illegal, he is only on leave. They can take the house, they can take the telephone and the electricity and the water, but not before his retirement. But they cannot threaten a man. This is how the crowd goes on threatening everybody and keeps everybody to be a sheep. Religions force you to be a sheep. All the religions want followers, but this place is for the masters. Here is no crowd, but an assembly of lines, just a meet together. Few lines are asleep. It does not matter, just old habit. They will wake up when they will hear Sardar Gurdayal sing. I don't want you to be a follower. I want you to be yourself. Absolutely categorically, only then you can find your Buddhahood. It is not something that comes from outside and tradition. It is something that has to be discovered within yourself. The master can be a help at the most, but the master is not a necessity. And I have to remind you, the master can also become a hindrance. Because you may start thinking that you have a master, you don't have to do anything. The master will take care. There are people who are saying this. Jesus goes on saying that believe in me, not believe in yourself. Believe in me and I will take care. Krishna says, believe in me and I will take care. Whenever there is some problem, I will come back. 5,000 years have passed and there has been problems and problems. And I am waiting to see the guy come back. But not even a postcard. He has not left even the phone number. These people have deceived millions of people for thousands of years. People became believers. They thought that that's all that is needed of them. So a master can be a hindrance in the sense if he promises you that I will do anything for you. You have to find a master like me who is so lazy that I can promise you, I will never do anything for you. I don't do it for myself either. There are times when I need to hit you. I have to call from Germany a solid a stone head. He is sitting there with his staff, but I don't order him because a German hit can be dangerous. Rather than making you enlightened, it may make you hospitalized. Because Germans don't know that these Japanese masters were not really hitting. They were having just a small bamboos. Because I have never heard that anybody's head was broken or somebody has a fracture. So naturally I conclude that those hits were just playful. The master can be a help if he is just a friend, a presence in which you can learn to be yourself, a presence which can encourage you to fly into the sky. But he can be a hindrance if he promises that I will deliver you from your sins. Jesus was continuously asked when the day of judgment will come. Because on the day of judgment, all the souls from their graves will wake up and God will decide who is a sinner and who is a saint. And Jesus said, I am his only begotten son. I will point out who are my people. For them a special concession. They will enter into paradise without any difficulty. It has been asked in the Bible again and again, because the disciples were worried that when this day of judgment is going to happen. And he used to say soon. 2,000 years have passed. He himself is past. And the day of judgment has not happened. And I tell you, it will never happen, because there is no God to judge. And there is no time where existence comes to an end. And what crimes you have done, every crime that you have done reflects the God and his work. Now psychologists are becoming more and more clear that somebody murders, it is not a crime. It is just hormonal. His chemistry is wrong. And our stupid judiciary goes on hanging these poor people who are suffering from wrong chemistry of which they are not responsible. If you want to hang, hang God. He is the only murderer, the only man who has raped, the only man who has been stealing, because all these things are inbuilt in your biology. Somebody becomes a thief not without a certain biology. All that he needs is not imprisonment, but treatment, psychological, physiological. Nobody is a criminal whom you are going to judge. But making people afraid that the judgment is very close. Be quick and have faith in me. Otherwise, you will be lost in the crowd of millions of skeletons all around the world. But I will recognize you that you are my people, and God cannot refuse His only begotten sons. Followers, He has to allow them. These people like Jesus or Krishna or anybody who has made it a point that following them, having faith in them is going to save you are criminals. Utter criminals, because they are deceiving millions of people for thousands of years. Nobody can save you except you. An authentic master is going to emphasize the fact in thousands of ways that you are your own savior. In fact, this should be the criterion whether the master is true or a fraud. If he says, I am going to save you, he is a fraud. Because he is keeping you away from yourself, he is preventing you discovering your Buddhahood. He is putting himself above you, superior, savior, messenger, God's son, God's incarnation, and you, just poor animals. Just monkeys who have accidentally fallen from the trees and in falling lost their tail because this was a very great problem for Charles Darwin. When he proposed his thesis that man is a branch outcome of the monkeys, apes, the question was necessarily asked, where is his tail? But unfortunately or fortunately, there is a place in your backbone which shows that there used to be something attached which is missing. A monkey without a tail is impossible. That is his glory. But he found through skeletons the place where the tail must have been attached. Otherwise, why this place is there left? Something is missing. Charles Darwin is not making an effort to prove you that you are a Buddha. He is trying his whole life to prove that you are just monkeys gone astray. Lost your tail in the meantime and now have forgotten completely how to jump from tree to tree. All the monkeys must be laughing, seeing that these idiots are extending our two legs. This is not natural. Abnormal monkeys, stubborn, adamant, outcast, unfit monkeys, rejected by the society perhaps, Jesus says you are sheep and he is the shepherd. All these people are consistently trying to take your dignity as human beings. I say to you that you are the ultimate consciousness . You are not the body and you are not the mind . You are the Buddha, the awakened one. Just it is a question of sleeping and waking. It is not much of a difference. The sleeping person is not inferior just because you are awake and cannot sleep. It simply shows that he is relaxed and asleep. And you are unnecessarily making efforts to wake him. I sometimes wonder that whether I am doing the right thing. Sleeping people in their misery, in their suffering, rejoicing, and I am unnecessarily pulling their legs that get out of this misery, they think it is their blanket. They cling to the blanket. But whether right or wrong, I enjoy pulling the leg. Dogen said, we are now able to come in contact with the Buddha, Sakyamuni, and hear his teachings due to the compassionate kindness that has resulted from the constant practice of each of the Buddhas and patriarchs. You can see the language. It is that of a scholar, and he is making absolutely wrong statements. It is not because of the Buddhas in the past that you can become a Buddha. You can become a Buddha because you are essentially a Buddha. The past Buddhas may help you as a reminder, but not more than that. It is dangerous also that you may start worshipping them. And once you start worshipping, you will never remember your own Buddha. It is such an absurdity that a living Buddha is worshipping a stone Buddha made by human hands, praying to a stone Buddha. It is so hilarious that all over the world, in all the temples of so-called gods, people are worshipping toys. I have told Avirbhava that collect all kinds of toys, we will make a beautiful museum, and I appoint you the Director General. She has brought me a beautiful bear which walks, which makes sounds very similar to Avirbhava. And when he makes the sounds, he also wags his tail. I will tell Ananda tomorrow to bring it here so that you can see. It is really a beautiful but all the gods are not even that much living. It at least moves, wags its tail and makes sounds also. And strangely enough, those sounds are exactly as Avirbhava makes. Tomorrow you will see. Avirbhava will bring it herself. You will be missing with the tail. Otherwise, you are perfect. We are going to make kinds of toys which humanity has been worshipping. So when visitors come, you can show them that these are your gods. But as far as I am concerned, it is not needed at all for any Buddhas to precede me or to precede you. I don't accept any followers, I don't accept any predecessors. Successors or predecessors are not needed. You are enough unto yourself. Just it is a question of awakening. So everybody will wake up. How long you can sleep? We will go on harassing you. If the Buddhas and Patriarchs had not directly transmitted the Dharma, how could it have come down to us today? Absolute bullshit. But very scholarly. Supported by the scriptures. Dharma is your very nature. That is the meaning of the word dharma. Just as coldness is the dharma of ice, and heat is the dharma of fire, Buddhahood is your dharma. Awareness is your dharma, your fire, your coolness, your nature. It has nothing to do with anybody who has become enlightened before you. Even if the whole history is completely erased, it won't affect in any way people becoming enlightened. Because it is their nature, sooner or later, they will blossom. They may go astray a little bit here and there, and that is nothing wrong. Just going for a morning walk. Or being lost in a bazaar, in a shopping mall. But finally you will have to come home. You will have to realize yourself. Hence, I cannot support Dogen's idea. He says the true way of expressing this gratitude can be found only in our daily practice itself. Gratitude for what? He is asking you gratitude for Gautam Buddha, gratitude for Bodhidharma, gratitude for other patriarchs and masters, gratitude is a byproduct. He is not aware about the very psychology of man. Gratitude comes after you have become a Buddha. Then you feel gratitude towards existence. Then you feel the miracle that you had not asked anything and you have been given everything, all the mysteries. Dogen goes on saying, how transient our life is. To utter two or three words of the Buddhas and patriarchs completely is to express the Buddhas and patriarchs themselves fully. Why is this so? In their realm, there is no gap between body and mind. So every word of their uttering is their warm body and mind. Therefore, when we become the Buddhas and patriarchs, we transcend them. He has not yet become a Buddha. He does not know the transcendence. He is still talking about it. This is the practical expression of two or three words of the Buddhas and patriarchs. So I strongly urge you to pursue the practice of the Buddhas and the patriarchs. This is the way of a teacher, of a priest, of a professor. But these are not the words of a man who is awakened. The awakened people speak in a very different way, the same words, but have a different nuance to them. A haiku by Basso. Along the mountain road, somehow it tugs at my heart, a wild violet. Now he is saying more than any scholar can say. A wild violet, somehow it tugs at my heart along the mountain road. A man of silence and understanding, a man of consciousness, understands the beauty of existence, even of a wild flower. A haiku by Kikaku, may he who brings flowers to night have moonlight. Because the same flowers in moonlight suddenly have a different splendor. In the silence of the night, with the full moon, if somebody brings even some wild flowers, they have such immense beauty. But this beauty and this silence is not for the mind to understand. It is for the being to experience. Ryota writes that there is only one is unbelievable tonight. This harvest moon, he is saying that there is only one Buddha. That's what is the tradition goes on saying, who can save the world, that there is only one is unbelievable tonight. This harvest moon, in the beauty of this harvest moon, in this silent sky full of stars, it is unbelievable that in the whole history of mankind there was only one man who became a Buddha. And I absolutely support Ryota. There have been many Buddhas in many different places, different races, different countries. They may not have been called Buddhas. They may have different languages. They may not have spoken at all. They may not have been recorded, but it is impossible to believe that in 4 million years there has been only one man who attained to the highest peak of consciousness. At least I can say that forget the one, because I have touched the same peak. From now onwards, remember two Buddhas, because I cannot say anything about other Buddhas. They may have been pretenders. They may have been just imitators, but I can say with absolute authority that I have known myself, and I have known myself more than Gautam Buddha himself, because he got stuck at a point. He himself describes in a beautiful form, just like tarot cards. In China there are 10 pictures which are called the 10 Zen Bulls. In the first card, the bull has escaped from his owner. In the second car, the owner is searching for him, but could not find anything where he has gone. It is deep mountains, valleys, forests, which direction he has taken. In the third, he finds the footprints of the bull. In the fourth, following the footprints, he finds the bull hiding behind a tree. Just his back is seen in the picture. In the fifth, he has seen the whole bull. In the sixth, he catches hold of the bull. It is a struggle. The bull does not want to go back home. He has found the freedom of the forest and the mountains and the rivers. But the owner is dragging him back. In the eighth, he has conquered the bull. In the ninth, the bull is in the stable and the man is sitting under his roof playing a flute. In the tenth, the man is going towards the pub with a bottle in his hand. Buddha has described that there comes a point when Buddha forgets his enlightenment. It becomes so natural that there is no need to remember it. The tenth is the transcendence beyond Buddha. When this pack of cards came to Japan, they dropped the tenth card because that looks very irreligious. It is perfectly good that the bull has been found. The bull represents the truth. That Buddha is at ease playing his flute. The tenth seems to be very dangerous. So in Japan, they dropped the tenth. They brought only 9 cards. They were not so courageous to see a Buddha sitting in a pub. Sipping beer. But I would like the 10th card to be added again. It is against Buddha himself, because he himself has said that I am at the 9th stage. The 10th stage is just to become ordinary and simple. So simple that you can get drunk too. Yes. A 1 cup of wine. Sitting with your friends, enjoying But Japanese priests became aware that this is a very dangerous card. Every drunkard will start saying that he has transcended Buddha. But being so afraid of the drunkards, they anyway think they have transcended everything. They don't wait for your card. Just look at a drunkard. He believes already that he is a god. Because of these drunkards, they have dropped a very significant point that was only symbolic, the bottle and the pub. That was only symbolic of being very ordinary. Just being simple as everybody else is. Once in a while, if a Buddha, just to give company to other Buddhas who may be asleep, takes a little wine, I will not object. Manisha has asked, what is it about man today that he is not only lacking in the simplicity and innocence of the people we hear about in these Zen discourses, but that he is so wary of commitment? It is as if we are afraid to have all our eggs in one basket, are obsessed with experiencing simply everything that is available. So we end up having tested everything and not being nourished by anything. Manisha, as far as man's inner pilgrimage is concerned, time makes no sense. In every age, in every time, the same was the problem, and the same was the solution. We are not in any way encountering something new. It is the same old sleep, the same old unconsciousness, the same old mind full of thoughts which does not allow us to move beyond it. Nothing has changed as far as discovering the Buddha is concerned. It is not relative to time or to space. Every time in any space, it is available. And the hindrances are the same. Your mind, weaving thoughts day and night, dreaming, imagination, hallucination, and you are caught up in this whole so badly entangled that it seems difficult how to get out of it. But the way is simple. You don't have to get out of it. You simply don't cling to it, and it will drop on its own accord. That's what I call meditation. You simply stand aloof and just see the mind disappearing like a cloud in a far away horizon and leaving the sky clean and pure. And in that state arises your consciousness in its full glory, in its full ceremony. It is not without any reason that I want you to end up your meditation every day with ceremony. With rejoicing. Slowly, slowly, as meditation will become deepening, deepened, your ceremony will also become more splendor, more majestic, more miraculous, more magic. Before we enter into our daily meditation, just to wake up the sleeping and snoring Buddhas, the Third World War is just starting. And after 2000 years, Jesus Christ arrives unannounced in New York. He has come to give a speech to the United Nations Assembly. It is late and he is tired after his journey. He looks around for a hotel, but finds that none of them has a room. Finally, in a little back street, Jesus sees a sign which reads, "The Camel and Cow Inn, vacancy." He ties his donkey to a lamp post, goes inside and walks up to the receptionist. Putting his hand in his pocket, Jesus pulls out some old rusty nails and throws them on the desk. "Excuse me," he asks, "can you put me up for the night?" Chester Cheese walks into the American Express Bank. "I want to open a goddamn current account," snarls Chester. "I beg your pardon, sir," replies Mabel, the teller, "Listen, damn it," repeats Chester, "I said I want to open a goddamn current account." "I'm sorry, sir," says Mabel, "but we don't tolerate language like that in this bank." Then she leaves the window, walks over to the bank manager and whispers in his ear. The two of them return to where Chester is waiting. "What?" says the manager icily. "Seems to be the problem here." "There is no fucking problem," insists Chester. "I just won $10 million in the lottery and I want to open a goddamn current account." "I see, sir," says the manager, "and you are getting trouble from that bitch." Larry Lurch, in New York, UP, goes into the Fussy Pussy Pub in the Greenwich Village. He finds beautiful girl he has dated before sitting in a corner sobbing into her pina colada. Larry sits down opposite her. "Lulu," he asks sympathetically, "what is wrong?" "Everything," she sobs. "My cat Tiddles has disappeared. I got fired from my job. I'm being thrown out of my apartment. And the doctors tell me I have terminal diarrhea." "That is terrible," says Larry in a concerned voice. "What about if I take you out on Saturday night and cheer you up?" Lulu shakes her head and sobs, "I have decided to kill myself on Saturday night." Says Larry, "well, what about Friday night?" Nivedana, beat the drum.
close your eyes. Feel your body completely frozen, no movement. Go in. Deeper and deeper. This moment you are all Buddha. This moment you are not, but only the Buddha is. One consciousness, one oceanic consciousness, and you are drowned in it. Drink this experience as much as you can. Let it sink in your every cell, in your breathing, in your heartbeat, so that it remains 24 hours with you, just like an undercurrent. This moment, there is no time, no space. This moment you have transcended history, mind. This moment you are only pure consciousness, just a light unto yourself. This is what is meant by being a Buddha. To make it absolutely clear, Nividana, relax, let go. The body is dead. The mind is gone far away. You are left only with a small center, but this center is the door to existence. From this center you are joined with the universal heart. Never forget the way. It is very simple. From mind to heart, and from heart to being, and from being to pure space. This pure space is the Buddha.
Vedana come back from your inner journey silently, slowly. There is no hurry. Sit down for a few moments, reminding yourself you are a Buddha. This reminding every day that you are a Buddha will become just like breathing. You don't have to remember. Just like the heart beat, you don't have to remember. One becomes simple, nobody. Just a pure joy. Can we celebrate the assembly of the Buddhas?
Yes.
The responses to sutras and voice recording on this audio format are the copyright of Osho International Foundation. Copyright dates 1953 through 2003. All rights reserved. Reproduction in any media is prohibited.